Well, I appreciate your all's prayers. And I appreciate you all having us here, too. I put my subject on the board. It's one thing. That's not too many, is it? One thing. Thinking about all the problems that we have in our country and our land today, they're arguing about the health care, Affordable Care Act, and doing all that. And I think about crime seems rampant in a good part of the country and in a lot of the major cities. Chicago, Detroit is just, it's unreal how many people die there daily. And I thought about what would people do if there was a suggestion that there's one thing that'd fix it. Think of that. It's complex, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, it's a complex problems. If I was to say today probably to this group and said, what is your hang-up? You got a hang-up? What is your besetting thing? Well, there may be a whole lot of different answers to that. And there may be a whole lot of speculation to what the problem might be or what the solution would be. But instead of it being all complex, I just like to get it down to a pretty simple idea. It's just one thing. Now, I've heard it said that if you repeat yourself once when you're speaking to a crowd, when you repeat yourself once, you're reinforcing the statement. And when you repeat yourself again, then you're insulting the intelligence of the audience. So I want to let you know now, I'm not insulting the intelligence of the audience, but I probably will repeat it a lot, that there's just one thing. One thing. When God put Adam and Eve in the garden, He told them there was one thing they shouldn't do. There wasn't a whole list of complex ideas, was there? There wasn't a whole lot of, there wasn't 37,000 pages of things to read through to try to figure out how and you should conduct your life. Adam and Eve didn't have to sit and debate with among themselves or to try to come up with some kind of big mathematical formula to find out what they shouldn't do. They didn't have to try to achieve anything greater or bigger than they was. They didn't have to try to do anything. They didn't have to wait for any big things to happen. They didn't have to wait to any big events in their life. They didn't have to wait till they got a certain age. They didn't have to do any of that. There was no congressional movements to tell all about or nothing like that. They just simply told them one thing. One thing. That's simple enough, isn't it? I would think that that was as simple as it could get. The Lord said, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. Even I can understand that. Except for, there's one tree in the midst of the garden I don't want you to eat of and don't want you to bother. Stay away. I can understand that. Don't eat of this tree. The Lord told them specifically, just one thing, folks. One thing. This tree, don't eat of it. That sounded pretty easy, didn't it? It's just one thing. But do you know that it was one thing? It was one thing that got them. It wasn't complex. It wasn't hard. It was just one thing. I'd like to start this morning with a scripture in the 27th chapter of Psalms. The fourth verse starts out and says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. One thing. One thing have I desired. Brother Dan, should we do prayer?
Let's all have bow our heads in the word of prayer. Psalms 27:4. One thing have I desired. One thing. Surely David had more desires than one thing. Surely David got thirsty. Surely that he got hungry. There must have been things in his life that he would have wanted. So it can't be talking about those things, can it? You'd say that someone that hadn't had any water for a while in a hot time, that it'd be natural to have that desire. So surely that's not what he's talking about. I think really what we want to get to here this morning is that there's one thing that's above everything else. Really, there's got to be one thing. One thing that's more important in life, to life, than anything else is, and that we're going to have to allow that to be our one thing. Because really, we all know that sometimes there's a lot of other things get in the way of that one thing. David said there's one thing. I know he got thirsty. I know he got hungry. I know he had desire for friendship and fellowship and companionship. And I know that he had all those natural things because we all have those natural things. But he said, one thing that I have I desired above all the other desires, above my necessary food is the Word of the Lord. There's one thing that drives me of all the things that I have to do for this body and for life. But there's one thing that's important to me. It's one thing I chase that, I drive for. It's one important to me. When it all comes down to it, I can get rid of everything else. Yeah, I like to have a home. You know, a home's important to me. I mean, it's really important to me. Okay? I like having a home. I like the desire of that. Here recently, Linda and I, we said, well, we're going to do a deep clean on the living room, and so we're going to change it around. Now, I'll be honest with you, that's really not my thing. Probably, if it was left to me, it'd get changed around once a decade. I mean, it's usually okay with me because I usually say, well, that's the way we liked it, the reason we put it that way. But we moved it around in a different way. And when I sat down that night, it looked so, you know what I'm talking about. The newness, it was homey to me. I had the desire for that. You know, it's a good feeling since I travel a lot. It's a good feeling to be in somewhat of a dependable vehicle. I have a desire for, I mean, honestly, that's important to me. A lot of times, almost every time I leave for a trip, I'll check the fluids. I'll do all to make it the feeling that I have. I like to know that the fluids are full. I like to know that the oils, right, because I'm going along, I don't know, but it makes me feel better that those things, it's a desire. It's a desire to be secure, safe, no trouble. It's a desire that I have. But the writer here was saying, one thing have I desired. Above all of those desires that I find filtered into my life, I've got one desire that's over that. If I have to, I'll do away with the van. If I have to, I'll sacrifice the home. The house. You know what I'm saying. I'll sacrifice that sense because there's one thing. There's one thing that's needful above everything else. There's one thing that's important. We can get so out of focus. You know, there is really, the scripture really tells this. There is a success, folks, in being single-minded. It's in anything that you do. I had a boss one time that he just got out of school. He was surveyor. He was going to make a surveying company. And I was so taken by what he'd done to accomplish that. Do you know that he was single-minded towards it? You know, you couldn't hardly talk to him. Well, he was single, so you could talk to him about girls sometimes. the only split in his mind towards that company was that he wanted to have a wife to share it with. But she was even on the back burner for a while. There was no she there, so it was easy to put her over there. I mean, the thought of it was put on the back burner because he had this thing that he was going to build a surveying company. And I saw him do things that I would have never wanted to do. And if we, about any time we got together, he would want to talk about the next step in the business. And what do you think? And all this. And it was always, always single towards him doing that. He lived in the top of this. He bought his office, bought the company office and all. He bought it and he didn't have a place to live. Do you know he done it first? And he lived in a cellar top with cracks. You could see through cracks in wintertime, and you could see through that. And I would say, when he come in late at nights, he would get in, on the covers in them West Virginia winters was cold, and I would think, man, he must be freezing. I would go home and take a hot shower, and I'd get in a nice hot, a warm house. And that was important to me, but his drive to accomplish that was high. He was single-minded towards it. Well, I'm going to tell you what he done. Because of that single-mindedness that he had towards it, and the blessings of the Lord on it, I believe, he made a big, he's very big now. He's got a number of offices, a number of places. When he went to build his house, he bought a big piece of land. He got a great big house. He's got a home. He's got a family. He's got all that that he wanted. And now it's still increasing and it's still increasing. And his singleness of purpose paid off for him because he had that mind towards it. The last time I talked to him, he has 37 employees. Five or six licensed surveyors working under him. He's got three branch offices, those kind of things. I'm saying, but that come from a singleness of purpose. And you know, the Bible really does teach that. The writer here says one thing, not a bunch of things. They're not challenging me for this. I'm king, and I want certain... No. I got one thing that everything I intend to do. One thing. This one thing I have desired of the Lord. And, you know, we can say, I'd like to have this. You can say, I'd like to have this. Well, wouldn't we all? I'd like to be close to the Lord. Wouldn't we all? I'd like to have the blessings of God upon my life. I'd like to have the approval of God upon my life. Well, wouldn't we all? Wouldn't everybody today want to say that I want God's protection, the wings of His mercy, the protection of God's umbrella over my life as I pass down the highway? Who don't? Well, we all do. But He went a step farther than that, folks. He said, and this will I seek after. This is what I'm going to put. Not only do I desire it, but I'm going to put feet on it. I'm going to make it work for me. I'm going to put my efforts and my energies. I'm going to make this one thing work for me. You know what I got out of the Sunday school this morning? Was talking about Joseph. You know the thing that crowned it all for me in the life of Joseph was this. It's He that made us and not we ourselves. Folks, listen. There's only one Joseph out of 12. Out of 12 brethren, there was one Joseph. God called Joseph to be Joseph. You know those other brothers, every one of them had a space. If they would have said, God didn't call me to be Joseph. Yeah, that's right. And even to this point, there's only one. The father only made one coat for one son. But you know, the other ones can be slighted by that, or they can say, I'm not Joseph. He's Joseph. Do you know, folks, listen. I want us to get a hold of this because human nature and the devil can really take advantage of this. When a brother prospers, people can get jealous. Do you know that your prospering benefits me? You may even say, well, I ain't going to give you any of it. It don't matter anyway. It means I ain't taking care of you. It'll prosper me. I mean, honestly. I'm not taken away from anything God gives you. I'm not taken away by that at all. You know what the real trouble of all these problems really is? Well, we don't need a big encyclopedia for this one. It's one thing. I'm going to tell you one thing. We'll take care of all the problems that this congregation has. One thing. And that is that our desire, our true desire, be singled towards God. I'm telling you, it gives you the answers. Do you know I can be the lowest in the room if I got this? When I got the one thing, I don't need anything else. Don't need any of it. When all the troubles come, they're almost always an element of something in there that this one thing takes care of. You think about it. One thing. This one thing that I have desired, he said. Not only have I desired of the Lord, but I'm seeking God for it. I want. My desire is to be true to God. My desire is to be faithful to God. My desire is to say yes to His will. All of His will? This one thing. Now when it comes and Brother Bird gets the blessing and it don't seem like I do, I can praise the Lord because I'm where the Lord wants me to be too. What He blessed him with might ruin me. So why should I be jealous of that? I'll benefit by Brother Bird's blessings and all the blessings around, but I've seen it so many times of a friction and an envy and those things that get into people because they see something going on and they've missed the real valuable thing. And right here's the solution. One thing. Just one thing. That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I want to be there. I want to be there. I want to be faithful. I want to be faithful. I want to be there today. And I want to be there tomorrow. And the Lord willing, I want to be there. I'm 51 now and I want to be there when I'm 71. I want that to be the pattern of my life. I still want to be able to say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I want to be able to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, that's right. This old world's going down as far as I can tell. I don't want to go down with it. I want to stay there in this place. And there's one thing. I don't know how many times I can repeat this, but I want us to get it. Because so many times we start dealing with all these problems and we try to be too smart. We try to think our way through it. And you know what it is? One thing. It's my desire for the Lord. Yes. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. To be able to be have the Lord's blessing on my life. And to be able to see. Do you know there is a beauty in the Lord? Do you know there is something that is God in everything of your life? Consider this. The life of Joseph again. Think about this. Joseph was exalted. But did any of his brothers suffer more than he did? Which one was exalted most? The one that suffered the most. The prophet comes by and anoints David to be king. That's exaltation. Which one of his brothers went through more than he did? Had the king chasing him around, trying to kill him, all those kind of things. See the pattern? Paul was a great man of God and an exalted. Even God showed him things that was unlawful to speak. Which one of the apostles suffered more in the flesh than Paul did? Jesus, greatly exalted. He suffered to get there. Consider the pattern through the whole Bible. Somehow I think sometimes that it probably would be a little less suffering if you didn't serve for the Lord just real hard. But you wouldn't have the glory either. You don't get the goods either. Maybe he knew that when he wrote this. One thing of a desired. And I'll fight through all the persecution to get it. This one thing I've desired, I will go through whatever humiliation I have to do, whatever suffering, whatever degrading of attitudes, whatever the world brings. I know that I'm going to have to suffer, but it's worth it to me. It's worth it to me. Yeah, we can live in different kind of lethargic lives and probably won't suffer much, but we probably won't have much glory, not much victory. We'll never really see God in anything. Folks, this is just the truth. And some may say, well, that's kind of where I want to be. Kind of in year unnoticed and never really seeing God and never really done. But one thing have I desired. Look at another scripture with me, if you would, over in, let's see. I'm going to look at Luke 10. 10 and 38 of Luke says, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me." Now, I'm going to tell you what Martha did. Well, you give me this liberty, but this is the way it seems to me. Martha probably went and said to Mary. Now, I imagine she took this approach before she took the other approach. Imagine she went to Mary and said, "What are you doing? We got a lot of work here to do. So, come on, let's do it." My mind, if you give me this liberty, Mary would say, "No. I'm not missing this chance." So there was probably a little friction between sisters that one thing would take care of. Just one thing. Well, now let's debate the issue and see who's right. And let's get everybody involved. We need to go to the pastor and the pastor's wife. And if they don't see it my way, I'll go to some of the higher up congregational members. And before long, you got half saying this and half saying that. That's kind of the way things is. I'll get an alliance of some kind going. And if it's in a family situation, I'll ask Mom, and if Mom don't, being the matriarch, she's got more power. I'll go to her first, but if she don't agree with me, I get the next two sisters. Now, am I telling it right or not? Families will do this, and before long, they'll split right down the middle, and one saying, yes, she should have helped. She's like that ever since she was a little girl, she'd be like that kind of thing. And they get into that, and do you know all your family problems, all your neighbor's problems, all the problems around you can be took care of with one thing. And this have I desired. But she went over Mary's head. And she went to the right place. She went over. Now, if you want to get some, you want to go to the highest source, Martha decides she's going to the highest source, so she's going to go over top. So she goes and says to Jesus, Lord. Now, do you think that really that Martha thought that Jesus was going to take Mary's side? What do you think Martha would have done if she would have thought Jesus would have took his side? I say she went and asked Peter. That's what I would say. I mean, that's what I would think. But she went and asked the Lord. Now listen to what Jesus says. It said, "But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care?" This always gets me. You know, there's a number of times in the Bible that they said, "Do you not care? Lord, do you not care?" Now, it looks like if you was the Lord, I wouldn't even have to ask you have done this. Do you not care that all this serving to be done at your expense, because you're here, and you don't even care. Lord, you don't care. You remember when the disciples was in the ship and said, "Lord, carest thou not that we perish?" Like there's something wrong with the Lord. Folks, now, am I telling it right? Does that ever run into your mind? Lord, what are you doing? This is not right here. One thing have I desired. Lord, I want to be in the house of the Lord. I want to be faithful here. And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha." Anytime you hear your name twice, that's for getting your attention. "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." Many things. Many things. There's things all over. I'm worried about this. I'm worried about the payments. I'm worried about this. And what about if they do this? And what kind of health care should I have to do? And what are they going to make me? and how big's my fine and what all is going on in my life around me, and somebody said something about you. Somebody's doing something over you. Many things have troubled, and what are you going to do, and what? All these kind of things. Many things, many anxieties. Martha was worried about, is there enough food, and oh, does it taste good enough? Sisters, am I telling it right? Did you get my crust right on my pie? And is the cornbread going to be burnt on the bottom? And worrying about this. Well, we want to serve our best. I think it's right that you do. Hey, we have cares. But you know, there's something that it ain't going to matter if it's a little crunchy on the bottom. Really, it ain't going to matter. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing, Martha, one thing's needful. Martha, you spend all your days spinning your wheels. Martha, you're going to get to your cornbreads already, all right. You're going to be a great hostess, Martha. You're going to be a benefit to people. Yeah, all these things. But Martha, you're going to miss the one thing. Don't miss the one thing, folks. Because the world will steal it from you. You get so busy, and I know what I'm talking about, traveling around, I got it in my own congregation. I know people can get so busy. So it's right to support your family. It's right to do that. But folks, there's one thing. One thing's needful. One thing is needful, and Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. All right? It's life. I believe it was Brother Clifford Wilson that preached this years ago at home. And he was talking about, as a minister, he was quoting from another minister, but he was saying, even as a minister, went in and visited a minister one time, asked him how he was doing, and he said, laying in his deathbed. Oh, he said, I've got messages, but I can't preach them. All the gifts failed you. Do you know all of these things? Do you know that it's possible for me to go around the country doing all this and miss the one thing? He was saying in that, there's one thing that don't fail. It never fails. Love never faileth. Lord, give us that desire and love towards you. That love, God, to us. There's something that won't fail you. Do you know all of these other things will fail? But Mary was setting and getting what would never fail her. Martha's was going to run out. Martha's was going to disappoint people. Martha was going to disappoint herself with all these anxieties and all these things. But there was one thing that was going to be able to get her through all of that. There's going to be a time. I'm going to tell you, this serving, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, this serving and doing and all that was not going to sustain Martha. When Martha come down to the end of her life, all the serving she done was not going to sustain her in this life. Mary chose something that couldn't be took away. She got the one thing that she needed. Oh, I've told this story many times, but it was so touching to me. There was a man I met in the University of Virginia Medical Center. He had cancer one time in his life, and he was on his second bout. He was from West Virginia. And the nurses that I had met knew me and knew him, and they said, you got to meet him. You two would just hit it off. And so I went to see him. And they were right. We had a great time. But the only thing I could get him to say about his condition was, I beat it before, I'll beat it again. That's all he'd say. So the times I visit him, we talk fishing, we talk different things. Great guy to be around. Fun loving. But that's all he had. He had the things of life. He loved to fish. His passion was fishing. We just talk fishing, lures, boats, fishing and more fishing, taking grandsons fishing and then fishing some more. He loved to fish. But you know what? Watch this.
And I remember praying as he went down. I fasted and prayed one weekend or one days. Lord, give me the words to say to this man. Lord, would you open up? I even had faith. I believe the Lord would. I remember going to the hospital the day that the halls outside of his room was just people weeping and crying. And I went and asked him what it was, and he said, well, the doctors had just told him that this was, they've done the last thing they can do. And that in the natural course that he'd have a couple days. So I went in to see him. A man laying, looking at the ceiling. I tried to talk to him. He wouldn't respond to me. He wouldn't look at me. Nothing I could do. I sat there and prayed, Lord, please, have breakthrough. Get him to say something. Help me to be able to say something to him. Nothing I'd say would change his stare into the ceiling. I went away completely disappointed. But you know what I figured out and found out? Your passions of this world ain't going to keep you at that time. Yeah, what you think the old God of fishing come to his rescue and made him feel better about it, that he was going to that place of fishing? You know, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people are crowded in the stadiums today. And they're going to have a great sense of excitement, jumping up and down and doing those kind of things. And in many ways, they will, as the Scripture says, that the children of this world are in their time wiser than the children of light. Well, it's true. The children of the world know how. Now they do. They know how to enjoy themselves. They know how to fulfill and succeed as these football teams. They know what they're doing. But you know, there's going to be a day that the gods that they're serving won't come to them. One more touchdown pass from your team is not going to do it, folks. One more thought of casting that line out and getting the big one is not going to fulfill you in your life. There's only one thing. One thing. That not only takes care of it here, it takes care of it over there. It works now. It works in the middle of the night. It works on a sunny day. It works when it's dark. It works when it's gloomy. One thing is the answer to our problems. When I can't find the ability inside myself to forgive somebody that's done me wrong, there's one thing that'll do it. One thing. And Mary chose the better part. She chose a vision and a light and something that was beyond. She chose to lay aside the world. How long do you think Mary was going to have that opportunity? See, I really don't believe that the Lord was saying that, Martha, you should never do these things. But he was saying to her that the window, the opportunity, Martha, can't you see it? You'll be able to cook tomorrow, but you won't sit at my feet tomorrow because they're going to be moving again. You have an opportunity in a space of time to choose the better part, and you're choosing the wrong part. You would be better off not to eat it all, Martha, or serve it all, or do anything to get what the window of opportunity is passing by for you. There's only one thing. Folks, we're desperate to get the one thing that matters. And I know it's a great challenge in our time. I'm challenged with it too, because there is so much out there. There is so much that can distract our minds and get our minds off. Oh, but one thing have I desired. Yes. Look at another scripture in Mark 10. Let's see, 10 and 21. Let's go back to 17. It says, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, and I want to pick up this little point here. And Jesus, beholding him, loved him. But isn't that all of what the Lord's motions were? Because sometimes the Lord seems to say things that can be contradictory or ruffles people or comes against people. But this specifically said that he loved this young man. And what he's about to tell him was from love. That's what the Lord's doing today too. In saying one thing. I love you. And want you to get this. I don't want you to be robbed. One thing that you need. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing. Just one thing. Thou lackest. Go thy way. Sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. Well, you can say to that young fella, well, at least he didn't tell you a whole bunch of things. He didn't have a list. You don't have to go through all of them. You don't have to get a bunch of people together and try to figure out what they are. You don't have to try to get a lawyer to discern them. He simply told you one thing. But isn't there a pattern? Folks, can you see the pattern of what the Scriptures are telling us? There's a pattern here about this one thing. It isn't that we can't enjoy life. The Lord's given me the privilege. I hunt with my son. We fish some. We do some things. But it isn't my desire. I enjoy doing it. I thank God for it. That ain't what he's talking about. He said to this young man, there's one thing. Do you see the pattern? What's this one man's problem? He's done all of these things. Many, many things that he paid attention to. But there was one thing he didn't pay attention to. One thing. And that was putting God first in his life. He wanted the benefits of religion. Folks, I do too. I want the benefit of good things. I want right things in my life. I do. I want them. I want them. But you know, you can do those things and forget the one thing. And Jesus told him, because he loved him, he told him, there's one thing. Just one thing you lack. Well, you may say he didn't tell him a whole bunch, but he hit the nail on the head with the one. He told him, the one thing that you've missed is the very thing that you've got to have. Because I think the young man thought that by saying that he was going to say, well then, young feller, you're right. Now everybody knows your reputation. You're a good man. You've done all these things. You've lived high up. And so therefore, the door is going to be open for you. Listen to this next verse. And I hope and pray that this is not our condition. And he was sad at the saying. And he went away grieved, for he had a great possessions. What was his desire? He had desires. But what was that one thing that he desired? The conflict. Now, be honest with you, I don't have great possessions, so it's not my conflict. I've got another conflict. You may have other conflicts. There may be things that is taking that place and that portion and that keeps me really away from that one thing. Because when it's all said and done, we don't have a whole lot. I know there's a lot of things. You know, the way I look at the Bible, I believe if you had enough understanding in the Lord that you can be saved with, and you don't have to have a Bible. You know what this is? After somebody knows this is what tells you what you ought to want to do. I'm saved and I want to know. I want to know what to do. It tells me how to live and how to do. I don't know the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? The Lord saved me. I knew almost nothing. But the desire came to want to know. I've said this many times. I mean, if I don't know my wife well,
The only way I can judge her is by me. So if I'm going to buy her candy, it'll be M&M's with peanuts. Anybody want to take a guess why? Obviously. It's my favorite candy. That's mine. My wife would eat M&M's without peanuts. If I was going to buy my wife candy, because I know her now. I've experienced, you see what I'm saying? I've lived with her. Now I know that if I'm going to buy, I wouldn't buy her that. If I go around buying her what I want, it'd be a chainsaw. See, my wife don't run a chainsaw. But I would buy her a chainsaw. Then of course, I'd get her run it. But it'd be a great gift if I only look at me. That's what it is. We need to know what, if that's all that is, but the desire. My desire is to know the Lord. What was it that Paul said in Philippians? I think it was. Let's go ahead and get that. I want the second chapter of Philippians. Now I want the third verse. I'm going to read this starting with the first verse. Said, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he has whereof he might trust in the flesh, I've got more reasons. What he was saying, I've got more reasons. If you think that you have something to brag about, I've got more to brag about than you do. I'll put my bragging rights up against yours anytime. Let's get together and see who can brag about. I've sat at the master's of the law's feet. I've understood things. I've known things about it. You want to brag? I'll brag with. I can outbrag you. But I ain't interested in bragging. He said, this is his lineage. It means nothing to us. But if you was a Jew, it means something to you. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, and touching the law, a Pharisee. Hit the high note. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, odds blameless. You want to brag? I got some bragging rights. Here's my credentials. Pharisees lived the letter of the law. But what things were gained to me, now he's getting down to it. All these things. But what things were gained to me in the flesh, in this world, the things that I could have got things from, I counted them lost for Christ. I counted the loss. No gain to it. I'm not going to gain from it. I dismiss it for Christ. So you got a singleness of purpose. A singleness of heart. You want victory? There's one thing. You want victory in your life? There's one thing. It's the desire that we have. God will meet every man at his desire. What you put into it, God will match you, honor to better you. You want an indifferent, haphazard life to religious and holy things won't get you anything. The world has, there's world religions running out there of those things. They're valueless. There's nothing to them. But just one thing have I desired. I'm going to put God first in my life. I'm going to put Him where He's supposed to be in my life. Yea, Dallas. And I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Now, if you don't believe that, look at the life of Paul. Look what he done. Had these credentials, could have been up there. But what did he do? He sacrificed them all, didn't he? You know, there's a scripture in Hebrews that says that Moses, when he come of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, you want to talk about high up? Moses was high up. He was high up there. He could have been heir to it. But he refused to be called the son of the Pharisee's daughter, and rather suffered the afflictions. People of God, choosing rather, what did it say about suffering the reproaches of Christ? How can you compare the two? Moses was one of the greatest of Israel's leaders. Exalted. How did he get there? He suffered his way through it. The desire he had was proven out in that he despised the things of Egypt and embraced God. And there was great victory there. God blessed him in his life. Paul comes through in the same line and he says, I could have been high up, but rather, I chose Christ. And be found in Him not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Think of it. Lord, help us. I think Paul found the one thing. I think he understood the one thing. Put it all behind. Drop everything down. And put the Lord first. Well, maybe it ain't that way here, and I hope it's not. But there is places that we have a little problem in just a good, simple desire to go to service. I don't understand it. And maybe there's reasons. I've had mine. But I just want us to warn us. Don't lose the one thing. The one thing. My desire to be faithful. My desire to be faithful. If I can't show the Lord any other way in my life, maybe there isn't a lot of opportunities that I have to show Him, but I can show Him I mean to be faithful. I'll go to service. And I'll be there to be able to bring what the Lord's given me to bring and get what the Lord's brought for me. Just simply, I'm going to be faithful. You go to service. As often as I can, as nearly as I can, I'm going to go for my soul. There's great things. Paul went through great things, done great things. I mean, think of what he said. He told them there at one point he was aiming to go. He was going to go to Jerusalem, I believe it was. And he come and they took him and bound him up and said, you go, this is going to bound you up. And he said, I'm not only willing to be bound. One thing. Had one thing on his mind, his heart. I'm going to go share the gospel with those folks. I'm not only willing to be bound, I'm willing to die. What is my body but an offering to the Lord anyway? He had made that and he was successful because he did. He found the one thing. A strong desire. Oh, Lord, help us all to have a strong desire. One thing have I desired. I want to be where God's at. I want to have God in my life. I want to do whatever it takes. Get rid of whatever I have to. I'm always amazed when people start debating over trivial things in their life about what they can and can't. When, Lord help, this is for eternity. This is for eternity. Pick up another scripture. Let's see. I think I'm wanting the 9th chapter of 1 Corinthians. I believe this is all right. Let's pick it up at 23rd verse. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means which I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway.
One thing. One thing. This is not a complex. It's not a complex situation. It's a simple situation. I got one desire. And this race, he's saying, isn't like we all take off running and the first one gets the prize and nobody else gets it. That's not this race. This race is to finish the line, to get the goal. And I aim to do it, he said. I aim to get the goal. They do it. What do? They put all into it. They know. And again, folks, the world knows. You're going to be the top athlete in the world? You can't go eating little Twinkies. They don't eat that kind of food. They know they can't eat that. They can't have above so much percentage of body fat on their bodies. They know that. And you know they are very temperate, not in all life, they're temperate in that area. That they've got to be at their maximum place of strength and of endurance to be able to win. And it was important to win. Now I tell people all the time, if you know me very well, you'll know this. I like to win. I told them at Myrtle, I like to win. If you're going to play me a game of checkers, if I can beat you, I will. I'm just going to tell you, I like to win. I like to win games. I like to win life. And I'm going to win this. I got to win. This is what Paul's saying. If I lose now, I'll shake your hand. I'm not a bad sport. I'm just saying that if I can throw a ringer and beat you in a horseshoe game, I'll throw it. If I can, I'll throw it. And you'll lose if I can do it. But I'm out for winning. And I aim to win this. And this is what Paul's talking about. You do everything you can do to win. There's only one thing that's important. One thing. I know what my desire is. I want to be with the Lord. That's my desire. Everything else in life's got to do that. And you know what the Lord's going to do? If we set that one thing, your troubles, your persecutions, your troubles, your suffering, your affliction, all takes you there. God isn't a God that leaves you flung out there. Everything in your life is He's trying to conquer for you. And when we put that purpose in there, it changes the dynamics of what God's trying to do. Oh, we go from, with this mindset, we go from being this a person just that is not enough to somebody that God's working with and using. Yeah, there's some suffering, but the glory's higher. You see God. God answers and there's a close relationship with the Lord. Oh, I want to know Him, Paul said. Now in closing, well, time's got way away, but in closing, I want to tell this story. You may have heard me tell it. But years ago, there was a story of a woman that was, they was doing what they called the Iron, it was Iron Man or Iron Woman contest. These athletes were super, I mean, they were very, in shape, that they had worked hard for this, and there was three events. And what they would do is swim. They would swim out, and she swam out like 5 miles. I can't always swim across the swimming pool, but she swam out 5 miles and back. And when they got out, they jumped on a bicycle and rode 120 miles on a bicycle. And then when they got off the bicycle, they run a marathon, 26.2 miles. And it was called the Iron Man contest, but this was the Iron Woman contest. Well, this woman got a great lead. But within 100 yards of the finish line, she was consuming herself. All had done until the point that she was staggering trying to go. And she had stopped and tried to go and stop. And finally she collapsed, but nobody could help her. And the goal is in sight. Right there. She had made a big lead. And there's the goal. So she tries to get back up and she staggers a little bit ways farther and falls again. And the goal is a little closer. But there it is. And she does it until finally she loses body functions. She's messed herself. She's going for it. She begins to crawl. All she's got left is to crawl. And she crawls up and she's a few yards away. Somebody runs by. She didn't win. But you know, I've kept that in my mind. What that woman wanted to do. You say, I ain't going to humiliate myself for it. You're not going to humiliate me for this. Really? That was pretty humiliating, I think. All for what Paul called a corruptible crown. To be honored. To have the title. To get something that'll perish. But he said here, take these for an example of what these athletes, take them for an example, but run the Christian race by this. Single, what do you think this woman was thinking about? Single, totally single-minded. I'm going to finish. I'm going to make it. I think she did finish, but she finished way back. She completely consumed herself down to her energy was gone. I think she did make it, and then they had to take her out. But it was you kind of would want to root for somebody like that. But I'm going to tell you, the determination, the idea that she done it, and it was vanity, wasn't it? I mean, honestly, wasn't it vanity? But how many Christians don't run the race? How many Christians don't really ever make it a single purpose? And he said, folks, it's not a lot of things. You want me to sum up for you our nation's problems? Yeah, that's right, all of them. They need the Lord. They need the Lord. They make bad decisions because they ain't asking the Lord about it. We're going the wrong way. You're not going to feed children a bunch of selfish stuff and get them so wired up about their own desires and then cure crime when they get bigger. No, but there is one thing that would do it. You know, and that's what our desire is today. You pray for me. I want to be faithful. One thing have I desired.